Praise God. Where are we here? Okay. The most wonderful time of the year. Today we're talking about the peace of Christmas being eternal. You know, if you watch the Hallmark Channel or anything, you see that Christmas is all about people and love and people getting together and everything. The angels said to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward man, not among men. Because since that time, there has been wars and wars and wars and wars and wars and wars and governments and and people. I mean, we can't even get our own government to be unified. So there's not peace among men. It's peace toward man. Peace from God. The war of sin is over. Justice was satisfied at the cross. God is fully satisfied. He is the word propitiation, that Jesus is the propitiation for our sin, is nothing more is required for the cancellation and annihilation and blotting out of sin. Nothing else. Just believe in him. That's the whole caveat. It's like, oh, God's grace is here, so we're just all saved. No. There's that little word all through the New Testament called faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, what? Believes in him shall not perish. So you need to believe in him. There comes a day when you need to receive him as your Lord and Savior. But that's what he means. Believe in him. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. When do you have eternal life? When you believe. Amen. The whole gospel is in, wrapped up. That scripture is pregnant with the gospel of Christ. It is absolutely exploding with life. It is powerful. Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus, said, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name is called Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That L on the end, E-L, signifies Almighty God, like El Elyon, Elohim. And the first part of that word means with us or with man. With us, God is. That's what the Hebrew says. The Word made flesh. He sent his word to us. He sent, and there is life. There's power in the word of God. There's love, and there's mercy, and there's forgiveness, and there's acceptance with God in his word. It's all in his word. There's vision, there's hope, and it all comes alive in us as we meditate on his word. The Spirit of God makes it all real. Amen? So let's declare this together as we enter into our weekly confession. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, God accomplishes everything by his word. It's the way he is, and we are created in his likeness and image. And we frame our world as well by our words. That just fell right to the ground right there. I said, we frame our world with our words.
Amen.
We frame it. You know, that word, it says, the worlds were framed by the word of God. And that word of God is the word rhema, and it means the spoken word of God. God speaks and creation happens. You are created in the God class, in his image and in his likeness, to created to operate the way he operates, to walk the way he walked when he walked on the earth. And look at what he did. He spoke to a tree. He spoke to a storm. He spoke to the dead. He spoke to demons. He did everything by speaking to it, didn't he? That was kind of weak.
Amen.
He did. He operated according to his word. His words. So let's go to Isaiah 9, verse 6. And this is the... this is our text for the December series, the most wonderful time of the year. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us, unto who?
Us.
That's you. Unto you a child was born, unto you a child is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. Now, that word government means it means the sovereign reign. By legal means. You can look it up. I mean, it's fun looking these things up. You know. So, by legal means. See, God didn't just say, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and forgive them. When Adam sinned, okay, let's just, King's X, we'll go back to the beginning. No, because the process of death already started. Iniquity was released into the world. Man needed redemption. God had to do it legally. And he set it in motion in the garden when he said, he's coming. And he will kick your head in and he will bruise his heel doing it. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And the prophet said it. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And he came into the world. Everything that God is, everything that light is, truth is, power is, everything that he is in heaven, what is in heaven, he laid that all aside and came down in the person as a man. A man anointed with the Holy Spirit. Did you know? Did you know that he operated in no additional power than he has given you? Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you.
Amen.
He laid, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, he laid all of his mighty glory aside and came down, because if he did anything as a man, he could not have been a legal sacrifice for us. I mean, if he did it as God. This is why the devil tried to get him to do things, because he was the Son of God. But he wouldn't do it. He had to operate as a man, and he operated, even though he was God manifest in the flesh, he had to operate as a man, as a prophet and teacher under the Abrahamic covenant, and anointed with the Holy Spirit and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just defeated the devil every time.
Amen.
Amen. You have that same power. It's not you. It's not your willpower. No, it's the power. It's the surrender power of you to the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's the surrender power of you to the Word of God. It's the surrender power that you have in surrendering your life to the Almighty God, the risen Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, and you are invited to the party. That's where you are seated with him, far above all power and principality and might and dominion and every name that's named, because you're in Christ. Even if you're the little toe, you're in Christ and you are far above all.
Amen.
All demons, all Satan himself, all of that stuff. He is totally defeated. This, you know, what makes this such a wonderful time of the year is the promise of all that means to us all through the year. The promise of Jesus coming into this world. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, 16, I'm sorry. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the names that God revealed himself as is El Shaddai. The literal, P.C. Nelson was teaching Kenneth Hagin a lot of this stuff. And he was a Hebrew scholar. He was also a Greek scholar. He spoke 26 languages fluently. P.C. Nelson was amazing. And that's got me beat by 26. Because I get a lot of help and encouragement telling me that I can't even speak this one. So anyhow, P.C. Nelson said, what El Shaddai literally means in Hebrew, it means the many-breasted one. You know, you say, this is church. Yeah, that's the mother side of God, is the Spirit of God. And many means whatever your need is, he's already got a full supply for it. Whatever your need is, there's a full supply. That's El Shaddai. It means the God who's more than enough. The many breasts. And here's what it implies. You see, the Hebrew is a root language. It's got root words to it. And the words that spring out of that are all related to that root. They're all related to that meaning. And so El Shaddai literally means that if there's a need in your life that God has not provided for, he'll make it. Yes. He'll make it for you. That's what it means. You cannot have a need that God will not supply and fill. It's an impossibility. You can't. You're not that big. You guys there today? Yes. Boy, I'll tell you something. That would light my light. Praise God. He'll make it for us. Unlimited resources, unlimited supply. You have an unlimited covenant. It is the greatest covenant in the world. It is the most magnificent document ever written. And it declares the Son of the living God to be the head of all the church. And he is now unlimited. The only thing that limits him in your life is your faith. The only thing that limits him in your life is your faith. It's the only thing.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm tickled at this. We're talking today about the peace of Christmas is eternal. And by Christmas, I mean the celebration of Jesus coming into this world. Light coming into this dark cesspool. My apologies to cesspools everywhere. This is really not this world is dark. It is dark. It is filled with sin, sickness, Satan, demons, curses, rebellion. All of that is in this world. And look, yet the light came. The light came into this world. And he completed God's plan of redemption. One man defeated Satan, the god of this world, and the entire demonic realm. He defeated it, totally wiped it out, to the point where the only power the devil has left is deception, lies, propaganda. And propaganda makes wars. Jesus is the principle. The government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal or Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we went into that last week, Prince of Peace. We're going to go into some definitions today. I hope you're ready for that. We're not doing college course today, but we're going to learn something. Amen? The light came. You know, this is why I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who what? All who believe. It is the revelation of the righteousness of God. For therein is revealed from heaven the righteousness of God, that all heaven and earth will witness. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, Jesus came against everything that mocked God, everything that belittled the Word of God. He came against it full force. The Spirit of God, the name of His God, the name of His Father, and He walked in love. He did it by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the name of His Father. Amen. Revealed in the Old Testament is El Shaddai. There was no need that Jesus ever had that He, you know, wasn't ready and prepared to meet by speaking to it, laying hands on it, walking with it. Jairus came to Him. And Jesus was going one way, Jairus caught, and Jesus started walking with him. You can change the Lord's direction simply by asking, presenting a need, because He's El Shaddai. He will supply that need. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Acts 10:38, you can write that down. Did you know He's the same Jesus now as He was then? Amen. Did you know that? Did you read that in Hebrews 13, verse 8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He healed people then, He's healing them now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
If He healed people then, He ought to heal them now. Amen. And if not, He's not the same Jesus. So if you're listening to somebody who says Jesus doesn't heal anymore, Jesus doesn't speak in tongues anymore, the church doesn't speak in tongues anymore, if you're following that stuff, just walk away from it. Let them wallow in their own mess. Because, you know, you lock the Holy Spirit out, and I'm telling you something, you're locking out the power of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. If He needed the Holy Ghost, we need it. And if the Bible says He works this way, then we need to work that way and allow the Spirit the freedom to work that way. Amen. If we don't do it, we're locking Him out. We're limiting Him. We're binding His hands. He's the same Jesus. But you see, you come into environments like this, to a meeting. And here's what happens. Then we leave and go home, go back to our home, to our four walls of our existence, and we let those walls start talking to us, reminding us of our limitations, reminding us of our failures, reminding us that things didn't work, or we feel like God didn't really hear us that time, so why should I? And it starts, no, God didn't tell you to listen to that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, what did he say? Attend to my words. Don't listen to those four walls of echoes of emptiness and so forth at home. You go to your desk at home and just same old. No! Attend unto my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health or medicine to all your flesh. The words are. His words are medicine. Meditate on His word, send His word, and word healed them. There's life in that word. There's power. There's healing and health. There's prosperity. There's everything in His word. They are life to the and health to. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues, the wellsprings the forces of life. It's all in your spirit, man. It's keep your heart. Keep it like a shepherd keeps his sheep.
Hallelujah.
Keep it like it's not just to guard it and protect it, yes, but it's also to feed it the right things. Feed your faith. Feed your hope. Feed your love. Feed all these things. Feed your joy. Think on these things, it says in Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure and lovely and just. If you're having trouble, you're not following the list. You're letting your mind go on things that aren't on the list. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Stay on that list.
Amen.
And you will renew your mind, and when you renew your mind, you will be transformed. You glad you came today?
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad you came today too. He didn't come to redeem you from sin so you could just look at it from a new point of view. That's what he said this morning. Now I can look at my sin from the standpoint of grace. No, he came to make you new.
Amen.
He came to recreate your spirit, man, on the inside is completely recreated. You are the new wineskin for God to indwell. You are the new wineskin that can hold that wine, hold that anointing, and walk in it and release it.
Amen.
And let the world drink from it. Yes. The new wine of the Holy Spirit, of the truth and power of God. Woo! Glory to God. I feel like going into a hospital and start emptying it out. I'm getting lit. I don't know about you, but my feet are starting to tingle here. Oh, go back to your home and just renew your mind. Start putting up signs all over the place with scripture on it. Keep it before your eyes. Keep it in your heart. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Put it on the mirror.
Yes.
I mean, you go into the mirror first thing in the morning, you go, what? Let's reexamine this, Lord. So, put the scripture on there. I am the apple of his eye. You see, when you fail, when you sin, when you fall short, when you have an attitude, when you react the wrong way, you know, all of that stuff is really engineered by the devil more for the aftermath than it is for the actual sin. Because he in the aftermath, he locks you in, he makes you feel guilty, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you start to really despise yourself. You really start to hate yourself. And God doesn't hate. You're not seeing yourself the way God sees you. He loves you. He doesn't care what slime you're in. He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
He is your Savior, not your condemner.
Amen.
He is there to, what was the song we sang this morning? He lifts me up when I fall down.
Amen.
He lifts me up to higher ground. He gives me a spirit to drink from.
Praise God.
I forget the rest of it. It just came at the time, but whatever. But that song just came to me during prayer when they were playing those. And he lifts me up when I fall down. He's a lifter up.
Amen.
He's not a condemner. And the thing is, you need to take that and believe it and say, you know what? Okay, Lord. I'm in the slime pit here. Your word says, if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me from this feeling of inadequacy. Cleanse me from that feeling, from that guilt, from that self-condemnation and the condemnation of the enemy. And, you know, you start talking to God and all of a sudden you realize the devil doesn't have a case anymore. I'm free. He doesn't have a case. He doesn't have a legitimate case. All he can do is point backwards. And when he does that, point forwards and say, okay, devil, you know where you're going? You know that angel's going to come down. And he's got a big chain.
Amen.
And he's going to wrap you up with that big chain. And he's going to throw you into that pit. And all of the condemnation that you put on this whole world is going to follow you down into that pit. All of the guilt, all of that garbage, all of the lies, all of the sickness, all of the disease, everything that you, all the death that you perpetrated on mankind is going to follow you with. The chain is gone. That's your future. I don't, God's taking care of my past. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes. Take that. Devil?
That's right.
He is my victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Oh, I'm having fun today. I'm having fun today.
Praise God.
It's hard to stay discouraged. If you come here, you're not going to be discouraged. If you come here, you're going to be loved. And it's the love of God that never fails. Amen. That's why it says, be careful for nothing. That word careful is a word being full of care or anxious, anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. And you know, see what it doesn't say. Be anxious for nothing except when your kids are having problems. Be anxious for nothing except when your checkbook is... Be anxious... No. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety never solved one problem. Worry never solved anything. Anger never solved anything. Looking at the problem never solved a problem. It never did. It never has. It never will. Worry doesn't... It all comes under fear. And fear is what Jesus said not to have many times. Fear not, fear not. Be not afraid, it is I. Be not afraid, it is I. Here I am to save the day. You know, remember that Mighty Mouse?
Yes.
You had to be my age, I guess.
No.
Yeah. I remember that. It was right when Noah was shouting all aboard. You'll get that tomorrow. It'll sneak up on you. let's get into some definitions here of peace. Amen? Because if we realized what biblical peace really is, we wouldn't let go of it so easy. It's better than gold. It's better than rubies. It's better than all of that. The peace of God is so, all through the Old Testament. Peace, peace. It speaks of wellness, prosperity. In fact, I'll read you the definition right out of Strong's concordance here. Shalom. It means safe, well, happy, friendly. It means your overall welfare, your health, prosperity, peace, favor, friendliness. It means health. It means peace or peaceable or peaceably, prosperity. It means rest. It means safe, safety. It means to salute. That means to say hello. Welfare, well, and it means to be whole, 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 holy, whole, with nothing missing, nothing broken, no need, no nothing. Peace, the peace of God is something that comes from something that is whole. It comes from God. God is whole. Amen. He is complete and entire, lacking nothing, whole. Peace is the result of wholeness. There are many examples in the Old Testament. I'll give you one, Jeremiah 19:11, where he is talking about being made whole. The word whole is the word Rapha. It's where we get the compound redemptive name of Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. On what day did God change his name from the Lord who heals you to the Lord who makes you sick to teach you something? On what day did he change his name to I am the Lord who gives cancer, or I am the Lord who does this, or I am the Lord who does that?
Never.
He didn't give you that. He doesn't give bad stuff to his kids to teach him. He gave you the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. It's the word Rapha. And you can look it up. The reference for that when he revealed himself is Exodus 15, verse 26. I am the Lord who heals you. This is important because healing and wholeness are all related to peace. Like I said before, the root words of peace are very important here. And we have a covenant of peace. Do you remember when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, she got healed, Jesus stopped and said, who did that? And she told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, he said, your faith has made you whole. Now, why would we say anything different? Well, he didn't say, daughter, you see, my anointing healed you. Daughter, your ship came in today. Daughter, you must have learned your lesson. Daughter, you must have done something right. No. What did he say? Your faith has made you whole. If he said that, why would we say something different? Amen. Has faith? You know, people say, well, Kenneth Hagin, when he was struggling on the bed of affliction, when he had a death sentence. He had a deformed heart, an incurable blood disease. The Mayo Clinic wouldn't take him. Nobody would take him. He was home to die. And he started reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. But the King James reads the same no matter who, what it is. So, and he came to that part. What things soever you believe, when whatsoever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And, you know, the devil will wear things out on you. He said, well, that was for the Jews. That's old covenant. That doesn't belong to you. I mean, you know, you have a problem here. That's you. That may have pertained to some other people, but that's not you. Has the devil ever talked to you that way? Yeah. I mean, he wears that stuff out. Yeah. You know what the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside of him and says, well, how was she healed? Faith, thy faith is made. He said, well, let's say healing did disappear. Has faith disappeared? Because if faith disappeared, if that's Old Testament, then nobody can get saved. Because we're saved by faith, by grace through faith, right? Faith in God. Faith hadn't disappeared. Faith is good stuff to have. Covenant. We have a covenant of peace, covenant of wholeness. A covenant of prosperity. The Hebrew language is root-oriented. The word covenant is very interesting in the Bible. It says, it's translated from the Hebrew word bereath. Bereath. And the root word of bereath is the word barut. Barut. And the word barut literally means this. Ready? Choice meat. That's what it means. Another related word to barut is the word bar-yah. And it literally means fattened. You see, when they had livestock that were going to be slaughtered, particularly for sacrifice, for people entering into covenant together, they would feed them grains that would fatten them up, and the meat would be absolutely the best meat. And when they sat down, when two people entered into a covenant, they would split that animal in half and they would walk through that blood. They would walk through that sacrifice with the on either side. And by doing that, they were saying, if I don't live up to the agreements of this covenant, you can do with me what we did to this animal. It was a life or death thing. These things are serious. They're not like a contract you sign in Western culture and then you get a clever lawyer to get you out of it. There is no getting out of that. They can enter into other covenants and additional covenants and so forth. But usually it's between two people, sometimes three or four people, that they would walk, they would have this covenant, and then they would eat that meat. They would have that meal together. Can you see where communion, when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. This all has to do with his sacrifice on the cross. All pointing to that, to a covenant that could not be broken. And in fact, when God walked through that blood with Abraham, the light went through that. He walked in that blood and says, if this fails, I will destroy myself. Basically is what he's saying. God's promises are built on something. They are not empty, hollow things. They are built on reality. And that cross and that death and that burial and that resurrection is speaking forever for all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, under the glory of God, by us. We are participants in this. We are included in this. This is a blood sacrifice that was made, and every blood sacrifice that was ever made in the old was all pointing to Jesus. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. It says in Hebrews 10:4. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats can take sin. That's why it had to be Jesus. It had to be a man, a sinless, perfect man who offered himself up for us all. You know why? He loves you. You're the apple of his father's eye, and he will do anything for you because he'll do anything for his father. Now, I'm just going to take a few. You got a few minutes here? Okay. You better, otherwise you're going to look bad. Come on. Okay. There are two words in the Bible for covenant, and it's particularly more pronounced in the New Covenant between theke and diatheke. But one word for covenant is a conditional covenant, which means it depends on us living up to it, some of the agreements in the covenant, right? Like conditional promises, and if you do this and do that. But then there is an unconditional word for unconditional covenant, which depends nothing on us. You remember in the book of Isaiah, it said in Isaiah 54, verse 10 or 9, this is as the waters of Noah to me. When God made a covenant with Noah, he signed it with the rainbow, which has been commandeered by people who want to pervert everything. But lately, but the rainbow was the sign of the Noah, and there was no conditions to it at all. God says, I will never destroy the earth again with water, never again. And it is unconditional on anything that we do. I don't care how bad you get. I don't care how bad it gets. I will not destroy the flood, the earth with water again. I will no longer judge man that way. This is the waters of Noah to me. Unconditional. Unconditional covenant. And if God ever did, he would have to destroy himself. That's how strong, that's the power of his integrity. He wouldn't do it. This is as the waters of Noah to me. He said in verse 5, Isaiah 54, verse 5, he said, for your maker is your husband. God is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, the Lord of armies, actually. And your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved. Verse 7 says, for a small moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This was all he was going to fulfill in Christ. For this, what's this? his everlasting mercy and kindness. This is as the waters of Noah to me. In other words, he's coming out, he's making this unconditional. For the mountains will depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. God will always deal with us. Always bring us to peace. Always deal with us peacefully. And the gift of peace, it's not just a fruit. It's a gift. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And when he said that, it was covenant. Amen. It's yours. I think it was Genesis chapter 17, when he said to Abraham, he said, as for me, my covenant is with you. When Jesus said that, as for me, my peace is with you. I leave it with you. I give it to you. You can do with it what you want. What I suggest is that you don't let your heart be troubled by managing peace over your life. Deal with me and yourself according to the peace that I gave. Amen?
Amen.
You get anything out of that today? Leave that there and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the peace of Christmas. Jesus coming into this world and bringing us to you, redeeming us from the clutches of Satan's sin. And Lord, we thank you that your word has gone into us. It will not return to you void, but it'll accomplish in us that which you sent it to do. And we praise you for it. We look forward to this new year and leaving the old behind. Now, all of you received a little card.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, thank you, hon. This little card. Or you can do this on your phones, however you want to do it. Write down some of the things that you're leaving behind. Put this on your mirror. Some of the things that you're also believing God for the new year. And keep it before your eyes. Keep it coming out of your mouth. That's how you keep it in the midst of your heart, by keep speaking it and speaking it. Keep looking at it. Keep inclining your ear. That means to lean on it, to lean and depend on what you're hearing from God. That's where faith comes in, and you start speaking it and speaking it and keeping your heart with all diligence so the forces of life start producing for you. So take this and believe that God has taken care of the past, wiped it out, put your faith in the blood. You can also cleanse your conscience from dead works through the blood, through faith in the blood. And you can also have put faith in the blood for all of the future mercies that you'll ever need, because he's already forgiven. All of your sins were in the future when he died for you. So all your sins, past, present, and future, are all done. So you can look at the new year with a complete, beautiful, new, clean slate that you can co-author with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.